在水水舍天上牛他不理家难的水啊对的给他他水发萨里哥把他变的Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I'm Shabam Sriraj, Sisi Mari Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj and Prabhupada Ki. I'm Shabam Sriraj, Sisi Mari Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj and Prabhupada Ki. Go Prema Dandi! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, all right, so, sorry we're a little bit late, we're a bit under the weather because I live in a hut and it was very damp last night, so, slight inconvenience. One minor administrative affair, our sixth class will not be on February 26th, it shall be at 6 p.m. February 25th, because I have to leave for the airport at 1 o'clock in the morning on February 26th.Otherwise, we could meet at the Calcutta airport at 4:30 in the morning on the 26th. Otherwise, for our final wrap-up, that will be February 25th. That's tomorrow at 6 p.m., in addition to the morning session. Yes? Good question. Okay. Now, I think at this point...Yesterday we reviewed a bit about what we've been discussing for preaching in the cities. Today I'd like to review, for the first half of our session, some of our discussion about Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. Now, I'll need someone to write on the board. Monica, you can do that. Stand up. We'll put you to work. Just pick a pen and...You're going to have to write maybe about 10 lines of things, so be spaced accordingly. Okay. How many of you have read Chaitanya Charitamrita fully? Raise your hands, please. How many of you have been devotees for more than 8 years and have not read Chaitanya Charitamrita fully? It's not in... You speak French? It's not in French? And how long have you been a devotee for? 8 years. No excuse. He's going to tell me, I've been collecting hard for 8 years, and they never gave me time to read. What do you say about that one, Giridhar? You want to read, you read. No one's going to say, don't read. The main problem is we don't feel the necessity. Therefore, as I said in class yesterday, Prabhupada, when he would come to Australia, he would regularly say, you must read my books. Often they tell me in Australia, no one reads in Australia, yet there's bookshops everywhere. Okay. How many of you have read teachings of Lord Chaitanya? More. All right. How many of you have not read teachings of Lord Chaitanya or Chaitanya Charitamrita? Goodness, and you got initiated. Raise your hands again, let's see. Alright. This is the state of affairs. Okay. Dale, you've read all of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Very good. Okay. Alright. Now, this discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy is a very pivotal and monumental discussion. It contains the essence of devotional service. How many of you, those of you who have read the books, how many of you have ever thought about trying to come to grips with that discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy? Please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. Huh? When you did read something about Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy's discussion, either in teachings of Lord Chaitanya or Chaitanya Charitamrita, the question is, how many of you felt that one day I'd like to spend some time trying to understand how this dialogue progresses? You did. Why? Okay. Anyone else who raised their hand also? Yes? Who else raised their hand? You read it and wondered about it? All right. Oh, what's the name of that book? Okay. Let's do a review and see if you can follow the progression of the discussion. It's very important. The discussion goes through various stages. It's likened to progressing from copper to bronze, to silver, to gold, and then to Chintamani, touchstone, the substance of the spiritual world. Chintamani, prakara sadamasu, kalpa vriksha, akshavateshu, shirabhir abhipalyanta. What does this discussion begin at when Lord Chaitanya says to Ramananda Roy, please tell me about the ultimate goal of life. What's the first thing? Yes. So you write that number one at the top. Yes, Ramananda Roy recites the verse, Varna Shramat Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Arajate Panta Nanyat Tatoshikaranam. There's no other way to satisfy the Supreme Lord than Varnashram Dharma. Okay. Now, Lord Chaitanya said, please you. There's something more. Now, why is that? Who remembers why? Can you give some amplification, though? External, I mean. Let her try. Now, Varnashram Dharma is meant to gradually develop your love of Krishna. It does do that. But that's actually Varnashram Dharma. But because in the age of Kali, it's been perverted. Therefore, the term Daivi is attached to it just to make sure people understand it's not just the caste system for the sake of a caste system. But real Varnashram Dharma is Daivi Varnashram. It's implicit, the Daivi. Vishnu Arajate Panta. It's the path for worshipping Vishnu. Rules and regulations for your occupation and your family life. These rules and regulations assist you in developing very gradually attachment to serving Krishna. But Lord Caitanya said it's external. Go on further. What were you going to say? Yes. Yes. Karma Mimamsa philosophy is, briefly, yes? Yes. Yes. You work hard and automatically the results must be provided. So why do puja? The main thing is focus on your duty and then the results must come from whatever kind of supreme there is there, personal or impersonal. In this way, the Supreme Lord becomes the prisoner of works, activities. When actually, the Lord is the prisoner of only what? Who knows? Yes, the pure devotion of his devotees. That's the only way to capture him, not by executing your occupational duty or your social duty. Only pure bhakti can bind the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya said, go further, because Varnashram is a material system and the Lord is heading for direct activities of devotional service. Varnashram Dharma, when done properly, does produce gradually, way down the line, some attraction to Krishna. But Lord Caitanya immediately wants pure Vaikuntha activities. That's why he didn't accept it. Because people will have a tendency to get caught up in formalities of social and occupational duties and forget all about love of Krishna. Furthermore, most important, in Kali Yuga, the full-blown Varnashram system can't be applied. And who is Lord Chaitanya in relation to the particular time he's appearing? He's the Yuga avatar. That means, while tasting the position of Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya is also laying down the Yuga Dharma, the path of religion for the age. And Varnashram Dharma is not the Yuga Dharma. Glorification of Krishna is. Alright, so Lord Caitanya says, please go further. What's the next thing Ramananda Roy comes out with? Yes. Yes. Whatever you eat, whatever you give away, whatever austerities you do as an offering to me. Now, again Lord Caitanya said, go further. Why is that? Yes, they're still within the material system of Varnashram Dharma, and they're performing material activities for their benefit most of the time, but sometimes, you know, yad karoshi, yad ishnasi. Yeah, we'll give a bit to the Supreme Lord while we're immersed in our material affairs, our Vedic affairs. The Lord Caitanya wants full devotion. Therefore, even though Ramananda Roy quoted a Bhagavad Gita verse, Lord Caitanya said, move on, please. Not enough. Okay, next. What did Ramananda Roy come out with? Say the whole verse. Yes. Abandon all varieties and conceptions of Dharma, Sarva Dharma and Pratyajya, and just surrender to me. But Lord Chaitanya said, please go further. Now, why is that? Can you explain why? It's a bit difficult, this one. I mean, aren't we always taught that this is the ultimate verse? Yes. Of course, in that verse, Krishna says, Mam ekam sharanam vraja, that you come to me. But the emphasis on the verse can be seen to mainly consist of sarva dharmam vraja. Give up your activities. You see, everything in Bhagavad Gita will always have Krishna in there. But the focus of that verse, Lord Chaitanya is letting you know, is it can be misinterpreted to simply mean give up all activities of material life and then you'll get Krishna by the renunciation. And that is not so. So first, Ramananda Roy presents Varnashram duties, Vedic duties, and then he says, okay, reject all material activities. In other words, take sannyas. This is karma tyag, renunciation of karma, renunciation of activities for fruit of benefit. Ramananda Roy says, sarva dharma pritya, give up all activities. Take sannyas, drop all material affairs. Lord Chaitanya says, no, go further. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya wants the mom emphasized. How do we become absorbed in mom, in Krishna? It's not simply by rejecting material activities. That doesn't get you into the spiritual world. Bhakti yoga, as we're practicing it, doesn't simply involve rejection of material activities. No, it involves positive spiritual activities, the 9 processes of devotional service. So you're supposed to write there, what would we call number 2? We'll figure out a way to hand over a bit of the fruits. Huh? Nishkam Karma Yoga, you want to? I don't know about Nishkam, because it's just, you feel like giving a bit of something, and you do that. It's not that you're surrendered. It's not that your lifestyle is surrendered. So we'll call it, occasional offerings of the fruits. You know how to spell all that? So, and number 3, that'll be karma tyaga. Giving up all karmic activities. Okay. Now, from karma tyaga, abandoning all karmic activities, basically means taking sannyas. It's material sannyas. Impersonalists also have that kind of sannyas. That's why in the verse we had in the morning a few days ago, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimukte. By serving the Mahatma, the door to liberation swings open. But Prabhupada describes that the Mahatma can be a personalist or an impersonalist. So the impersonalists, they also renounce material activities, but they don't have anything better to do than that. This is your immediate argument when you meet Buddhists, and they're quite popular in the West these days. Not that anybody really follows, but it's cool to say, I'm a Buddhist. Is like that in France also?
Yes.
Australia, it's supposedly the fastest growing religion in Australia. Did you used to be a Buddhist? Yeah, just see. So what attracted you? No, to Buddha, what attracted you to Buddhism when you toyed around with it? Huh? Readily available, but what did you think it meant? No desires, and sure. With what? Happiness. She was attracted by the idea of happiness with nothing. Well, that's an accurate understanding of Buddhism. I remember once Prabhupada was speaking to a Zen Buddhist teacher in France. Have you heard this conversation, Madhavendra? Yes. He was speaking to a big Zen Buddhist teacher in France, a Frenchman. And so Prabhupada was asking him about Zen Buddhism, just like a kind of like an innocent child, you know, asking about some curiosity. So Prabhupada asked him very innocently and straightforwardly, so, what is the goal of your movement? And the Zen Buddhist leader replied, the goal of our movement? The goal of our movement is to become nothing. And then Prabhupada kind of answered with childlike astonishment, people are attracted to your movement? They're joining? Prabhupada couldn't conceive that someone would be attracted to one to a movement that espouses you can become nothing. But because people don't think these days, they fall victim to these kind of things, just like she said. I was attracted to the idea of just being happy with nothing. It's meaningless. Yeah. It's impossible. But when you're fried on sense gratification sometimes, it sounds like a cool thing, right? After a few boyfriends who, you know, exploit you, and after, you know, jobs that are boring, you figure, well, why don't I try being happy with nothing? And how long does that last? Yeah, only till the next Saturday night when it's time for a party. Okay. So, for this reason, Lord Chaitanya rejected this paramacchad, sarva dharma pratyaja. Go further. In other words, I don't want people thinking that they can attain the spiritual platform just by renouncing completely material activities. I don't want them thinking that. Now you'll say, but didn't Krishna say, surrender to me? Isn't that there in the verse? Yes, Lord Chaitanya knows that's in the verse, but he's pulling out completely the pure spiritual platform from all these verses. That's why he's pushing Ramananda Roy, go further, go deeper into the water. It's not that the verses are wrong, and it's not that Krishna is not there in the verses. Even in the first Varnashram verse, Krishna is there, Vishnu Arajate Panta, the path of worshipping Vishnu. But Lord Chaitanya, in each case of 1, 2, and 3, knows the pitfalls. People are going to get lost in Varnashram Dharma. People are going to get lost in giving a little bit of fruits to Krishna while remaining embedded in the material world. Or people are going to get lost in karmachag, completely renouncing material life, taking sannyas, but having no devotion. So Lord Chaitanya is trying to completely unearth the pure spiritual principles of the spiritual world. Therefore, he's pushing forward. So never think that there's something wrong with these verses. That's why this discussion is a bit difficult. You understand? Sometimes devotees misunderstand. Ah, Mahaprabhu said these verses, he rejected these verses. Not exactly. And Prabhupada clarified about this in 1977. Although the word sometimes used is, he rejected. It's not quite like that. He's pushing deeper. Okay. Now, what comes next? We didn't discuss this yet, but let's see if you know. Yes? Yes, another Bhagavad Gita verse. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Who knows this verse? You know this verse? No. You know this verse? No. Hmm? Yes. Yes. Now what is happening? Ramananda Roy is leaving the field of renunciation and going into the field of knowledge. Because the sacrifice of knowledge is more important than the sacrifice of fruits of activities. So he's gone from sacrificing karma to sacrificing knowledge, jnana. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma. In the stage of Brahman realization, because you're equipped with knowledge of Brahman, you see all living entities as equal. You're always happy. You're not torn by hankering and lamentation, because you have knowledge of Brahman. In that or from that level, you can then begin to render devotional service to the Lord. So what Ramananda Roy is talking about here is devotional service mixed with empirical knowledge. You see, these are all the missing things in our degraded society today. You don't have any preliminary steps to self-realization existing in your culture. There's no karma tyag culture. There's no culture of empirical metaphysical knowledge where people are sitting around analyzing, this is temporary, this is permanent, neti neti, this is sat, this is asat. That's what empirical knowledge does. Formerly, in ancient India, even during Lord Caitanya's time, there'd be so many pundits in villages just debating, this is eternal, this is temporary, what is illusion, what is not illusion. It was part of life. Now, forget it. Therefore, Vedanta Sutra is not recommended for the age of Kali. Vedanta Sutra consists of very concentrated mantras which trigger your metaphysical understanding about what is eternal and what is temporary. But it requires a big brain. Such brains don't exist these days. So now Ramananda Roy, he's left the karma jag, renunciation of all activities, basically sannyas. Lord Caitanya has caused him to reject sannyas and move to knowledge. So, knowledge of Brahman mixed with some devotional service. And of course, Lord Caitanya says, please go further. At least they've gotten out of mere renunciation of material activities. They've gotten to the knowledge platform. But Lord Caitanya obviously is not going to be satisfied with knowledge of Brahman, even with a little bit of Krishna mixed in. No. So what comes next? What comes next is the first answer that satisfies Lord Caitanya. Who knows that? You had it. You're a well-read young man, aren't you, Jason? Well, let's give someone else a chance. Anyone else? Dale, do you know? What is your name again? Yes, do you know? Yes. I believe that's in the purport, yes? That's in the purport. But the verse that comes next is from the prayers by Lord Brahma after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, Brahma's bewilderment Leela in the Krishna book, when the Lord replaced the stolen cows and cowherd boys. Yene prayasa udapasya namanta eva. Give up all activities of metaphysical speculation. And do what? So once again, remember, we've moved past sannyas, material renunciation. We've moved past empirical knowledge of what is eternal, what is temporary. Those are all elements of a real human society. Now we are at a different place, a place where Lord Caitanya finally says, that's all right. What is that place? What does Lord Brahma say? Stane stita shutikatim tanuvan manobir. No matter what your material situation is, just directly hear the glories of the Lord. Stane stita. Remain where you're situated. Don't worry about whether you should change ashrams, change varnas, change this, change that. Just right where you are, right now, hear the glories of Krishna directly. That is the first thing that Lord Caitanya accepted. Stane stita shutikatim tanuvan manobhyam. Very famous verse. Now, finally, we have arrived at the Sankirtan movement. The Sankirtan movement is imported directly from the spiritual world. Narottam Das Thakur says, he sings, Goloka Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. This congregational movement of chanting is coming directly from the spiritual world. So it's at this point where you get fully pure spiritual activities. Just never mind about material adjustment, hear about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya says, that's all right. Now why? Because Lord Chaitanya is a Yuga avatar. Lord Chaitanya knows, in the age of Kali, no one is going back to Godhead through Varnashram Dharma. No one is going back to Godhead through Karma Jag, just material abnegation, material sannyas. No one's going back to Godhead through accumulating metaphysical knowledge of what is false and what is real, what is temporary, what is eternal. No, they're only going back to Godhead through the congregational glorification of the Supreme Lord. So, Lord Chaitanya accepts this. And that is the basis of our preaching. That's what we're telling people. Don't so much worry about changing this and that right away. Just start to chant. Just read Prabhupada's books. Just hear. And everything will work from there. So, now you're understanding the philosophical basis of the Sankirtan movement, as it was portrayed in the discussion between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. Why is it like this? Because the Sankirtan movement can directly give qualifications, even though people have not done 1, 2, 3, or 4. Still, they can get all qualifications by hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's the special benediction in the age of Kali. So now I hope you get some understanding about the whole Vedic system. Lord Chaitanya is giving you a rapid review of the whole system and why the Sankirtan movement is going on as it is. So you put here, put there, the Sankirtan movement. That means we don't worry so much about your material situation. We first worry that you hear Krishna's glories, and then everything else will come into focus from that. So this verse is the preaching platform for Kali Yuga. And it directly relates with our preaching topic. Because here you are in the pit of the city amidst all this degradation, and you're trying to do Lord Chaitanya's work. Remember Prabhupada's first impression as he saw Boston and then he landed in New York? How will these people ever become Krishna conscious? They're so covered by passion and ignorance. It looks impossible. But, Krishna, you are the supreme magician. By your will, they've entered into Maya. By your will, they can come out of Maya. I know that what? Who remembers? Yeah, that's there, but what did he see as the cure in spite of the mission impossible? What was the cure? Yes. He quoted one Bhagavatam verse? Yes. Yes. Srinivasa Sukhata Krishna. If they hear the glories of the Lord, then the super soul in the heart will clean the desire of material enjoyment from them. So, once again, here we are, number 5. That's what Prabhupada is saying. It's impossible, but because of the glorification of Krishna, hearing and chanting, it can be done. He says, I know, I'm firmly convinced about that. Therefore, as preachers in the city, or aspiring preachers, we must make an arrangement so people can hear the glories of the Lord. And if you're clever, you'll widen your appeal, direct and indirect, out of mercy. You'll get the fortunate ones who come along, I just want to hear about Krishna. And you'll get those who don't know what they want, but they're attracted to the food, the people, the scene. And then gradually they start thinking, oh, this Krishna consciousness is very nice. So if you're an expert, you want to aim for everybody. How to get them to hear about Krishna? That is the whole art. How to get them to sit down, stane stata, and hear Shruti Katam, the glories of the Lord. How can you do that? So many people may have books of Prabhupada. It's our service to provide them with an atmosphere whereby they're inspired to read those books. That's a big service. We have any book distributors here? Yes. So wouldn't you love it to know that some of the people who got books from you, they have a place to go where they're taken through the books and they're inspired to read them? That would really make you feel like, wow, you would feel like doing more Sankirtan. Yes. Very important. If you know that someone, some devotee is taking the trouble to help these people turn the pages of Prabhupada's books and get into it, like trying to get an engine to start in the wintertime, then you'd be very inspired in your distribution. So as we were saying yesterday, there is an ideal relationship between book distributors in the city and those who run an urban preaching center. They're working together, hand in hand. They're two hands of the same body. How to get the books out, and then how to provide an atmosphere to stimulate the people to read the books. So I got this idea when Prabhupada said in 1975 or so, we have enough temples, just open restaurants with reading rooms. I don't know if any of your cities, they have these Christian Science reading rooms. Well, they're pretty dead places, you know. They're just rooms with lots of literature and, you know, people are supposed to walk in there and sit down and read their boring stuff. But obviously Prabhupada got his idea from there. He thought, well, if we attach that along with the prasad, it could be quite exciting. So I further expanded on that idea by thinking, we need discussions of Prabhupada's books to get people to start churning the ocean of the nectar. In many countries, people really don't read that much anymore compared to the past. Their head is spaced out on video games and movies, and you'd be surprised. Many people no longer read a book from beginning to end. They just jump around here and there. So how are you going to get them to read that Gita you distributed to them? You have to help them, and that is big service. So I developed a format to help people penetrate into Prabhupada's books. Not a lecture, but discussion. We're all sitting down, and everybody has a Gita in their hand, and we just discuss various themes in the Gita. We read something, and they read it all. I get them to read that verse, read that purport, and, well, how do you think about that? And we have a discussion. Of course, ultimately, I end up doing most of the talking. And I, you know, nail the final case, you know, close. But it's a discussion at first. And from that discussion, the Siddhanta gradually appears. Okay, let's discuss, for example. What's the verse about whatever state of mind you have at the time of death? Yad. Yam yam vapi smilam bhavam. Chajante kalevram. Tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavita. Whatever your state of consciousness is at the time of death, that will be the state you'll attain your next life without fail. So we discuss that with people. Have you ever thought what your next body would be? Did you ever think what it would be like to be a worm or a bird? How many were here for Hari Vilas's class where he talked about someone going to Yamaraja's court? How many missed that one? Oh, well. you weren't here, were you? No. The person was, you know, lived in a very nice house and had a very nice wife, but then the person died, and because the person had bad karma, the person had to go to see Yamaraj, and it's not a Shastric story, it's a, you know, it has a point to it. So Yamaraj said, okay, you know you've got bad karma. You know you're going to lose your human form of life. And the man said, yeah, I know. So Yamaraj says, look, I give you a choice. You're going to be a worm, there's no doubt about it, but where do you want to be a worm? And the man says, well, naturally, I want to be a worm in my house. Yamaraj says, very good. But exactly where in that house? I'm giving you some choices. Where in the house, your old house, do you want to be a worm? How about behind the toilet? It's not quite, not close enough. Not close enough. Yamaraj thought, not close enough? What does he mean by that? Anyway, How about the sink? Under the sink, in other words, under the sink. No, no, not quite under the sink. You're getting near, but not close enough. Elroy says, well, how about in the drain? Yes, that'll do, in the drain of the sink. That's close enough. And Yamaraj says, well, wait a minute, okay, so be it. You'll be a worm in the drain in the sink. But, by the way, could you please tell me why that's close enough? And then the man explained, I want to be close to my wife. And every morning, she wakes up, she goes into the bathroom, and she gargles water, and she brushes her teeth, and she spits out down into the sink, and it all goes down the drain, so it'll all come over me. I want to be close to her. This is Ari Velazquez. You said this in Bhagavatam class. So you can discuss this concept. She's looking like... You can discuss this concept with people. What do you think your next life will be? And you have to keep a straight face when they answer, because they're going to say some wild thing. Many ladies will say, I want to be a horse. Ladies will say they want to be snakes also. Men will say, I want to be a bird. They'll actually say these things, and you can't laugh at them. You've got to take their answers very seriously. The worst thing you can do is to laugh at them, because you want them to open up. Others may laugh, but no, you as the moderator of the discussion, you always keep a straight face.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Well, we'll get back to that. You ever see these hosts on television of, like, talk shows or where they have guests? They're expert. Most of the time, they try to pretend they're neutral. Every once in a while, they may, laugh or... but they're expert at keeping a balance according to how they want to do things. So, if you're expert, you can do like that. Sometimes, wow, that sounds really wild. But if you're not so expert, just keep your mouth shut and let them just implicate themselves.
I want to be a bird.
In this way, by having a discussion, you get to know people. They get to put their conceptions out in the open. And then you can preach effectively because they've had time to express themselves. So certainly you should express yourself. And when you express yourself, you're preaching Bhagavad Gita. And obviously things have to end up with you because, you're preaching the Siddhanta. Let's say out of an hour and a half discussion, I'll let them go for it, maybe 45 minutes. Well, I'll be adding points. But then when we cross the midway mark, then I just... So these are things you can experiment with. You want people to feel like, they have a chance to participate in Prabhupada's books. You have the book on their lap. Each person has a book. And you want them to get to know the book. You want them to start to feel the power of the book, how there's so much there for them to read and know. You have to show them that. Isn't this a different understanding than from thinking they've got the common sense to open the book and find it out themselves? Unfortunately, no. Their minds are so bewildered, Kali Yuga is so intense, that we now have more service to do. We have to get them the book, and we have to hold their hand as they read the book. It's an opportunity to render more service. And once you get them interested in one book, like the Gita, then your next step is how to get them to become interested in a set of books. So these are some points you can meditate on. Now, there's no harm in giving a straight lecture because not everybody's able to do a discussion. But it should be a cordial lecture, not a, you're on a high seat, And no, you have to do it in a very friendly way. Welcome. Tonight, we're just going to be discussing a few things. I'm going to explain a few things from Bhagavad Gita. Because not every devotee is able to do a discussion. Sometimes in order to do a discussion, you've got to be able to handle unruly elements very skillfully. Do you do discussions or you give lectures? Lecture. You feel more comfortable that way. You're not ready to handle a full-on discussion. Yeah. So she's only 16 years old, or so she's 20 or 21. She's grown up a bit. So she doesn't do discussions all the time. At the end. Okay. All right. How many of you think you could handle a discussion? Could you raise your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many of you feel you better just give a nice, cordial lecture at this point? Raise your hand. You feel you could handle a discussion? Huh? I know a good discussion topic for you. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of women I am what? I'm asking her. That's it. Let the Mataji speak. Fame? You got them all? Memory. So, I once had a discussion. Why? I had a different theme in mind, and then all of a sudden into the group walks about 8 high school girls. So, you know, I wanted to change according to the audience. So we began to discuss what does it mean to be chaste. The first, what was their first reaction? Who can think what their first reaction was? No. You here are in a modern city. No. No. Huh? Right, they didn't know what it meant. No one has this concept anymore. Chase? I had no idea what it meant. I said, what do you think about being chased? Huh? It's not so much that they hadn't heard the word before, it just it didn't click. You know, just because they're under so much pressure as 13- and 14-year-olds. To have illicit affairs. Then when, if you really are expert, you can start to dig and get research information out of them. I always ask them, please explain your life and, you know, what's it like in high school these days? And if you really do it innocently and without bias, they start spilling it all out. Yeah, well, you know, the guys, you know, they just really pressure you, and if you don't give in, they make fun of you in school, and, you know, that's the way it is. So they just kind of put these things out right in the discussion. If you can make it a non-threatening atmosphere, they'll do like that. And you'll learn so much. You'll see the philosophy happening right in front of you. Yeah, and then someone will really get emotional. Yeah, I didn't want to, but then the guys, when I went on a date and I wouldn't, and then the guys spread it amongst all the other guys, and they got all the girls to get on my case. It was just too painful. Yeah, I hear that quite often. The men with their devilish intelligence, they tell all the girls in the high school, she won't. And the girls get on her case. Hellish. I've heard that so many times. So there was an example that how to have a discussion that everybody can participate in. And you also show that you're learning from what they're saying. Oh, really? It was like that? Amazing. I didn't know it was that bad. Well, you must have felt horrible. And then they tell you more. This is how I found out what's going on. Because otherwise, as a devotee, you know, sometimes there's this wall between you and the conditioned souls. You really don't know how they're feeling. You know the philosophy. That's very good. And, of course, the philosophy tells you, in essence, what everybody's feeling. But the details which make the philosophy come to life, that you have to hear from them. Just like the one person who's in this room now, when I was discussing how parents allow their daughters to have the boyfriend spend the night with them at their home. So this one person in the room who told me, oh, but my parents, they're a bit more strict. When my sister brings a guy home, the guy can't stay in her room. They've got to sleep together in the living room. Somebody in the room would tell me that. Don't raise your hand. So this is how you learn things. And, you know, when devotees hear these kind of things, then they can start to understand what's happening in Kali Yuga. And also, if you can create a safe atmosphere for people to expose themselves, they can easily kind of start to see how bad their situation is. These are things you can do when you're more expert. And when they say they're gross things, you just got to keep a straight face.
Yeah, when Friday night comes, I know what to do. No doubt about it, you know. I get my girlfriend and you just...
You have to kind of not slam them. But if you're expert, you can make a little, you know, wry comment like, oh. But just gentle, nothing to, you know. So these are various possibilities you can have. Because you want to arouse their curiosity, especially in people who already have books. You want them to see the books come to life. Ideally, after your discussion of Bhagavad Gita, for example, they should come up to you and say, oh, I didn't know there was all that in that book. Because you're making the book come to life in front of them. You're making the book sing and dance in front of them. And then they feel empowered by having the book. Well, I can do that too. I'll get that nectar too. Have you ever seen Christian preachers, you know, expound on the New Testament? Oh, they can make that, you know, the Bible is a much simpler book. It's very easy to do that. You can interpret in so many ways. A Christian preacher can make that New Testament fly, walk, crawl, swim. They get anything out of it. In Corinthians, such and such it says. And everyone, yes, Corinthians. Then in Revelation, everyone flips their Bible. You know, the preachers, you know, you can see it on television, especially in America and Canada, too. They have these televangelists, they call them. And you see them. You know, they're on television, they're at a podium, they got an audience of a few hundred people, they've got their Bible. In 2 Samuel, and the people in the audience are madly flipping through their Bibles. That brings us to understand what Jesus says in Mark chapter 3. People. Prabhupada said we should know our books like lawyers know law books. So at least we should know our books like Christians know their Bible. And that impresses people. You know, they know their stuff. They know their religion. We have to know our books like that. So if you can make the book come alive for somebody, then they get interested. Wow, all that's there. But that means you have to be alive with the book. All right. Our last point we're going to discuss today is a very interesting point. Activities. Why can't a preaching center sponsor activities so that people have a chance to, new people coming to Krishna consciousness, have a chance to associate with each other and devotees? Why can't a preaching center sponsor kind of neutral activities? Now, what do I mean by that? Let's say you just put a sign up at your center. We're going on a nature walk Sunday. And we'll be serving a lunch. Anyone who'd like to come, you know, just bring $5 whatever to cover the lunch and the cost for the gas, the petrol. And we're going up into the mountains. You'd be surprised. People are lonely. And many people who are more in the mode of goodness, they don't have anything to do because all there is the movies and discos and like that. So why not offer them activities in which the devotees aren't going to constantly preach to them, but the devotees are going to be there with them. And there'll be prasad, and there'll be gentle discussion. Certainly touching upon Krishna. But it's not going to be like, come out Sunday, we're going to preach to you on top of the mountain. How many of you ever thought of doing something like that before? No one. Yes, you did. When you were becoming a devotee, that was a couple years ago, I think. A year ago, so you're a good example. Now, wouldn't you like to have been invited on, you know, let's just, you know, we'll go out in nature, you know, with some people you know from the preaching center, hosted by one or two devotees, not too many, you know, heavy haris, but, you know, one or two nice devotees who, they just want to be your friend. I said, you wanted a friend, right? Did you ever think about that? Activities meant for building friendship with people. and then you gradually preach to them. I've seen this in a lot of places, and it works. People are lonely, and it gives them a good excuse to associate with devotees. If instead of saying,
come, we're going to preach to you,
instead you say, come, we're just going on a trip to the beach, or a trip to the, walking on the beach, or walking on the mountain. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. We're going out to this park and just walk around. They like that because they're lonely. And they also think that if they become Krishna conscious, they won't have any friends. They're thinking like that. They'll have to make a radical break with everything they've known in the past. These are all the phobias they have. But if you show them, you've got so many friends. We're your friends. Here are your friends, other people like you. We're just going for a little trip into the country, We'll have a nice lunch. Just throw in a few bucks to cover the, the food and the gas. Everybody goes for things like that. Now, according to your country, you'll find a suitable activity. In Australia and New Zealand, they like going out for walks in nature. In New Zealand, they call it tramping. In Australia, they call it bushwalking. Yes. I don't know if they like do things like that in Vancouver. Do they do that? No. Huh? Yeah. You go out for a day trip. And the devotees can be dressed kind of casually also. It makes the people relaxed. I mean, sometimes it's a bit hard, walking up a mountain with your sari on or the brush is tearing it, you're still sorry. Whatever makes the people relaxed, that's your mission. You don't lose your own identity, but you have a mission. These people have to relax. They have to trust Krishna. They've got to trust Krishna's devotees. That means they'll trust Krishna. So you're doing so much to get them to relax. You're making a sacrifice. What are some other kind of activities maybe you could... Yes, cooking classes, that's one thing. Well, I'm talking about activities that take you... Bike ride. There you go. That something sounds so harmless and innocent. A bike ride. What, many kilometers or something? Yeah. The whole thing is to get people attached to associating with devotees and get past their barriers. Because that's what's going on in their minds. If you ever take the time to talk to people and they really reveal what's going on, they have barriers. You are the Haris. And you look kind of interesting now, but could I ever be a Hari? I don't know. It means shaving my head, putting on weird clothes. It means giving up everything. They have all these preconceptions. Some of the Maharajas have buses. They take people on jaunts in the bus, Anything like that. What else could you think of? They pay you? You don't want to really assist them in their karma. I would probably, that's my own opinion. I don't want to assist anybody in their karma. I'm always thinking how to get them on our side, even if the method's very innocent appearing. But personally, I'm not about to help anybody in their karma. That's their trip. Yeah. an outing in the park, an outing at the beach. Yes, yes, that's one thing you can also do, take them on a tour, even to, you know, to India. It sounds cool, you know, a guided tour to India. And, you know, you don't have to surrender completely, we're just going on a tour of India. Okay, yeah, that's you know, these are, of course, very grand plans to go overseas, but even within your own country, you can come up with things. Here's one. Arrange your own house party. Hey, Saturday night, we're going to all meet at such and such's house. Yeah? And people like that idea. There'll be food, you know. We'll be just, you know, there'll be singing and music, and, you know, we're just going to be hanging out. People go for that. Just pick one of your congregation's houses, you know, who's a good host, and, you know, the people can come to the home and see, hey, he's just like me. I don't have to worry. But, yeah, it's nothing strange. There's nice prasad. Everyone's lounging around and, you know, telling stories, or telling about their lives, or just discussing anything, and have a little kirtan, and, you know, it's just, that's considered a night out. People like that. Because people are really starved for good association. They're starved for friendship. They don't have any real friends. So many things you can do to create events, things to do. People want things to do. You have to show them that Krishna consciousness is fun. And in order to do that, you have to understand that Krishna consciousness is fun. Sometimes devotees forget that. If you understand Krishna consciousness is fun, you'll be able to get them to see it too. That's what they're looking for. Fun and friendship. Never forget that. Fun and friendship before anything. Later they'll find out about the institution and this and that. But at first, it's simply fun and friendship. And even older devotees, you know, sometimes forget that fun and friendship is the basis of it all, you know? Why just the new ones? That's a different subject. So for now, we'll just focus on the new ones. Fun and friendship. So that will bring us to tomorrow's subject, which is called camaraderie in fighting illusion. It's a prominent theme in a movie that was very popular, especially amongst people under 35, called Matrix. Camaraderie in fighting illusion. People really go for that. So we're going to discuss that tomorrow. Today, please remember, Krishna consciousness is fun. Let the people see that. Prabhupada's books are nectar. Make those books come alive to their vision. We know they're alive already, but they have to see that. Any questions? It's different for everybody, but at least you should read them. Especially a devotee like you, who've been around 8 years and haven't read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Only 8 years? You have a responsibility, an individual responsibility, to read Prabhupada's books. That's your responsibility. Did you always have enough time to eat? Most of the time. He is a very busy person. But still, you did take prasad. So Prabhupada said, if you don't read my books, it's like someone who doesn't eat grains. You'll get weak and you'll fall away from Krishna consciousness. So after 8 years or so, you could be, you know, what's the point of all this? I mean, I've been collecting for so many years, and I've been doing this and doing that, and, you know, what's my future going to be? Should I get married? Should I stay a brahmacharya? Unclear consciousness because of no sustenance from reading Prabhupada's books. And as we hear in the Holy Name Seminar, not taking seriously the attempt to chant without offense. Any other quick questions? Yes. You're from Hong Kong? You're from Hong Kong? Oh. Okay. Well, I began this session by explaining that this is for Western places. But then, people from Bombay tell me there's not much difference between Bombay and the West these days, so... But yes, particularly I'm talking about preaching in the West, where people have no religious sentiment. India still has some piety, but in the West, forget it. I don't think there's any other way you're going to make it without doing that. You have to break the divide between, you know, the two, between the preachers and the people. It's the biggest problem in Asian preaching. The culture is so different. How do the devotees, you know, interact with the people? It's a big problem. Yeah? Yes? These are all very good ideas. You like doing things like that? Okay. All right. Thank you all very much. We'll see you tomorrow. Arrivederci.